This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Britain's efforts to leave the European Union was finally approved by Queen Elizabeth last week, clearing the way for the United Kingdom to make the move to independence. Royal approval was the last obstacle towards Brexit. Now it's up to the European Union leaders to formally ratify the law in a vote scheduled for Wednesday. The EU Parliament Constitutional Affairs Committee voted by a large margin last week to approve the Brexit withdrawal deal, paving the way for the final vote this week. The UK is expected to then begin trade negotiations with the EU as well as the United States soon after the move is official. The Brexit move could be very good news for American farmers, but that's only if the UK does not keep the restrictive EU-based ag policy in place that limits trade. Greg Dowd, the chief ag negotiator for the Office of U.S. Trade Representatives, says a new trade pact with Britain is of utmost importance to him. In my mind, it's a legitimate top 10 market for U.S. agriculture, Dowd says. When that move is official, we'll be right there, ready to begin negotiations with the U.K. Last week at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland, U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross sounded optimistic that a deal would get done once Brexit is completed. White House and administration officials confirmed to CNN that the president will sign the USMCA trade agreement Wednesday as well. The new agreement was one of the president's biggest priorities during his term and passed out of Congress just days ahead before the impeachment trial began. Trump is expected to tout this agreement as an important highlight during the 2020 presidential campaign, especially in the swing states that will see a lot of benefits from the pact. For example, the agreement opens the Canadian dairy market to U.S. farmers, something Trump is likely to point out in dairy-heavy states like Wisconsin. During a speech at the American Farm Bureau's National Convention, Trump told attendees that the agreement will massively boost exports for farmers, ranchers, growers, and agricultural producers. The deal was originally signed by leaders of all three countries back in November of 2018. However, the text was later changed after months of closed-door negotiations between House Democrats and the Trump administration. The updates added additional labor protections and got rid of controversial patent protections for certain drugs. In the latest livestock news, pork and red meat production has hit a monthly record for December. The USDA says pork production totaled 2.44 billion pounds. That's a 9% jump over the December's of the previous year. Slaughter was still also higher, up 9% to 11.4 million head. The average live weight gaining was up 2 pounds to 288 pounds. Beef production totaled 4.72 billion pounds, a jump of 8% over 2018. Slaughter increased to 2.75 million head, up 7% from December of 2018. The 5-pound gain for the national average live weight was 1,373 pounds. December red meat production totaled 4.72 billion pounds. That's 8% higher than the previous year. Unofficially, red meat production for 2019 was 54.5 billion pounds, 3% higher than in 2018. The USDA's official red meat production numbers for 2019 come out in April. December's dairy cow slaughter was totaled at 265,400 head. That's a jump of 9.3 million head from November and 4.2 million more than the previous December. The unofficial total for 2019 was 3.22 million head, 71,000 head of an increase above the 2018 total. In other national ag news here on your Monday, U.S. Senate Ag Appropriations Chairman John Hoeven says Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue is actively working with the White House Budget Office on a third round of market facilitation payments, key despite a spat of recent trade deal successes. Hoeven even says whether it's the USMCA, China, Japan, or the EU, trade deal relief takes time.
That's why we're really hard to make sure we get that additional round of the MFP. The second round is out there, and we still have the third piece of that to get out. Talked to the Ag Secretary at the White House last week, And, you know, he's working to get it out. He's on board, so they're working with OMB to get that done. But also the disaster aid, you know, we provide another $1.5 billion in disaster aid. Both those programs go through my Ag Appropriations Committee, which I chair.
Secretary Sonny Perdue told the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention in Austin, Texas, that there would be a third tranche of payments under the 2019 program soon, but no 2020 program. No one knows if MFP payments will offset the billions in ag tariff losses from the trade wars with China, Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Hoven was asked if the tariffs were even worth it.
We knew we were going to have some tough negotiations. The question is, how do you do that? You know, everybody's got a different idea on how it should be done. But the important point is we had to confront China particularly. But remember, everyone needs our market. So I think this idea that we have to say, okay, hold on, you're not treating us fairly, that was the right approach to take.
Though Hoven did not make a particular position on the tariffs, which dropped ag exports to China alone by more than $10 billion per year. In other ag news here on your Monday, farmers will be making two government program decisions on or before March 15th. What to do about crop insurance is one of them. The other, as Todd Gleason reports, is to enroll the updated Farm Safety Net program.
Now, the 2018 Farm Bill included some changes that require farmers to do a couple of things. First, they'll want to update their yields with FSA, if and only if the current set is higher than those already on record. A second, a decision must be made about which farm safety net to use for the crop harvested last year and the one that will be harvested this year. Gary Schnitke from the University of Illinois has this advice.
If you have a farm that's complete prevent plant, I think you're going to want to do ARC-IC, one FSA farm. If they're yielding at all, you'll probably be leaning to PLC for corn, ARC County for soybeans, and PLC for wheat.
You may learn more about ARC-IC on the FarmDoc website. Illinois has developed a set of tools farmers can use to help them make the best possible ARC-PLC decision, no matter where they live. It includes a calculator that runs on a supercomputer.
Calculators are online. The Gardner ARC PLC tool will allow you to look at the probabilities of these things making payments. Again, corn's not likely to make payments in 2019. Soybeans similarly. And wheat will make a PLC payment in 2019. So you can look at the Gardner ARC County PLC calculator for that. There's a 2018 Farm Bill tool that's a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, and you can use that to look at different prices and yields and see what ARC County PLC and ARC-IC will do in those situations.
The ARC PLC safety net decision is due to be made at the Farm Service Agency office by March 15th. The ARC PLC calculators are online at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
In other ag news here on your Monday, the changes to the hours of service regulations that regulate the hours a truck driver has to rest is still waiting to be implemented. According to Don Schaefer, executive vice president of the Midwest Truckers Association, he believes the implementation of those regulations is secondary to the current issues in Washington.
Hours of service regulations, the changes that had been proposed and that we're on the quote-unquote fast track, we haven't seen anything yet. So, I mean, again, I don't think it's the fast track by any means. We were hoping we'd hear something by the end of the year. That hasn't happened. We're hoping that, you know, we'll hear something in the next couple of weeks. It would be a good indication that the feds are, you know, are working on it at least. Obviously, with all the other problems they're having, it doesn't seem like it's moving too quickly. But the changes in the hours of service, more importantly, reflected the hours of rest, how maybe they can break up their rest period so that they don't have to take the 10 consecutive hours off, that they can split it up. When it comes about, we'll let people know. We'll blast it from the mountaintops because it would be a significant change. And especially, you know, it's important for drivers here in central Illinois, grain haulers, especially livestock haulers. These are the type of transportation modes that are not cookie cutter. So, in other words, you just can't stop for 10 hours with a load of livestock in the trailer. Or you got to get in queue in line at 8 a.m. or down at the river or something like that. And these types of things. which is different than the guy who's driving a truck full of boxes from point A to point B. These changes in the hours of service regulations are very important to a lot of your listeners and to a lot of our members. So, you know, we pushed hard for it, and now we're just waiting for it to happen.
And it seems like it's one of those issues that's kind of taken a back seat to the impeachment and the trade deals with China, USMCA, one of those deals that just doesn't seem to be quite as important as what's going on, but I'm sure if they can get through the impeachment, they'll move on to that.
Well, we hope so. I mean, it's just, you know, Congress actually came back, you know, and a lot of these issues are those that have been taken to Congress. And so Congress tells FMCSA, do this, do that, but it doesn't tell them how quick they have to do it. So to say do it within 2 years, 6 years, 10 years, that's just a number. So, you know, just keep our fingers crossed.
Yep. And again, that was Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association. Moving on now, 6:40 here on your Monday morning to the Ag Community Bulletin Board. The Montgomery County USDA's Farm Service Agency will be holding a informational meeting to provide an overview of two USDA Farm Safety Net programs, ARC and PLC. Two meeting times have been scheduled to accommodate interested participants. The first will be held this Thursday, January 30th at 10 a.m. The second meeting will be held next Tuesday, February 4th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Both meetings will be held at the Montgomery County Farm Bureau on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. Sign up for the safety net programs for 2019 and 2020 is currently underway, and election choice between ARC and PLC must be made by March 15th. You can RSVP to the Montgomery County FSA office by calling them at 532-3361, extension 2. The Staunton FFA alumni will be holding their annual chicken and beer dance along with a live and silent auction. That'll be held on Saturday night at the Crystal Ballroom in Staunton from 5 until 11. Tickets are available for $25 per person. And you can get your tickets at Ace Hardware in Staunton, Bill's IGA in Staunton, and the Prairie Town Feed Store. If you need more information, you can call Mike at 314-873-6769 or Linda at 618-402-2710. Also coming up later this week, the Illinois Wheat Association and the Illinois Soybean Association are joining forces to co-sponsor the Illinois Double Crop Farmers Forum. The forum will take place on Thursday morning at the Doubletree Hilton in Mount Vernon. Registration will take place that morning from 7:30 to 8:30. The conference presentation begins at 9, and the Illinois Wheat Annual Meeting will begin at 8:30, which is also open to participant attendance. Speakers and topics at this year's event include Phil Needham of Needham Ag Technologies on double crop management, Pope Commodities on marketing strategies, a wheat yield contest winners panel, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Risk Management Agency representatives, amongst others. The conference agenda is posted on the Illinois Wheat Association's website, illinoiswheat.org. And that'll wrap it up for this Monday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, if you have any ag-related news for us, you can send that to us at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So for this Monday morning, January 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.
And part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you this morning by the CNB Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you. On the birthday list for today, happy birthday today to Elmer Broers of Nokomis, to Ben Purrier of Staunton, to Judy Bivin of Millwood, to Derek Clayton of Wagner, to Sam Weiss of Carlinville. If you want to wish a friend, relative, or loved one a happy birthday or happy anniversary, send us an email to WSMI at WSMIradio.com. Litchfield residents on Jackson Street from Columbia to Tyler, those folks under a boiled water order, and that's in effect until further notice. Coming up tonight, the Coach Brad Underwood Show. It's yours at 7 on the Ox, 105.3. 44 and one half after 6 on this Monday morning. A check of radar weather is next.
Ever walk across your cornfield and find a nice surprise? Like that favorite vice grip that fell off the planter last spring. Well, next fall you might just come upon an even bigger treasure. More corn, thanks to Acuron Herbicide. Acuron gives you 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than any other herbicide when used in a pre-emergence application at full label rates. To discover your 5 to 15 bushels, talk to your Syngenta retailer. Acuron Yield Advantage range based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted use pesticide.
Radar showing.